Find, if you would, two scriptures this morning. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm preaching a message today that I'm excited to preach. And be honest with you, I did not want to preach the message today. Tried everything in the world not to preach this message. I was working on another message from the book of Isaiah. I've been studying the book of Isaiah, chapters 40 to 48. I look forward to preaching to them a series on how great is our God. And I had a good message all lined up in Isaiah 40. But I knew in my spirit I was running into some disagreement with the Lord. And I don't know how you feel when you run into disagreement with the Lord, but he kept saying, I don't want you to preach that. And I kept saying, but it's a good message. And have you ever been woke up in the middle of the night by the Lord? You just know it's Him. You just, bam, you're awake. And it's almost like you heard your name called. And I woke up Friday night about 4 o'clock in the morning, and God woke me up. He said, what are you going to do? You going to preach my message or your message? And I said, well, I'm going to preach your message. And he said, anyway, we had a conversation there. And I came in Saturday morning and began to put this message together. And I'd already known about it. But I began to study the message, and God began to speak to my own heart with the Word of God. And God began to teach me some things in my own life. Really and truthfully, got convicted by the study of the message. And I hope and pray that the Spirit of God will enable me to preach with the same conviction that He convicted me about. Now, I'm going to preach a message today on the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want you to tune me out. Last week I preached a message from the book of Acts, chapter 17, and the message was entitled, What Day Is It Today? In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching to the people of Athens, and he's preaching to them, and in the context of that message, he makes a statement that there will be a day, an appointed day, when God will come and God will judge the world. Preaches that message after he has walked through that city and he has seen that whole city given over to idolatry. We talked about how that broke the apostle's heart and how that he was burdened for those people. The Bible said that in his spirit was stirred. It was roused to anger. He wasn't anger at the Athenian people. He was anger at the blindness that the enemy had caused in their life. And he wanted them to know the truth. By the way, let me just say this. The greatest friend you have is anybody that wants you to know the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul was broken about that. And so he preaches them that message, and he preaches them the truth that one day God was going to judge the world. He knew they were headed down a wrong path, and it was not a statement of condemnation. It was a statement of compassion. He wanted them to be saved. So then he moved to teach us in that passage what day we lived in presently. It was a day to preach. It was a day to repent. It was a day to believe. In the course of that message, I told you there would be three judgments that the Bible talks about. One of them will be the judgment of the nations in Matthew chapter 25. The other one would be a place called the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation chapter 20. That's where anybody that's unsaved would be. And then there was the third judgment, and that's the judgment of the believer, and that judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. And I was studying that after the pricking of the Spirit of God, and I didn't want to preach the message because, to be honest, if I'm just being blatantly honest as your pastor, and I don't mean this to a negative to you too much, I just didn't know if you cared. And the reason I didn't know if you cared about the judgment seat of Christ was because I was kind of acting like I didn't care. And then I began to study about the reality of this truth. The reality of this truth is that one day Paul taught us in the book of Romans that every single one of us are going to stand and have to give an account for our lives. Think about that. You and I, every single one of us are going to stand alone. We're going to stand at the forefront. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account of our lives. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. I'm not necessarily sure that we entertain that truth as much as we should as a church. And I'm not necessarily sure that that carries the weight and the gravity in our lives like it should. An unsaved man will stand in at the great white throne, and they're going to have to give an account for their sin. Now let me tell you something. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we never will be judged for our sin. That judgment has already happened at the cross. But we are going to have to stand and give an account of our lives. I think there are two things in the Bible that I'm not sure that the church of today believes will really happen. The two things I'm not sure that we believe will really happen are, number one, I'm not sure, and I don't lump Plantation Baptist Church in here, although we may find some identification. I don't think most Christians believe that Jesus will come back in their lifetime. I wonder if you believe that Jesus is going to come back in your lifetime. Most of God's people are planning on dying. Now, I know it's appointed unto us once to die, but I'm not necessarily sure the church believes, and as well as it should, that the Lord Jesus could come at any moment. The second thing I'm not necessarily sure that the church of today believes is that I'm going to have to stand before the one who died for me, and I'm going to have to give an account of my life. To me, that's a sobering thought. If you agree with that, say amen. And here's where the reality really struck me. Look, if you would, hold your hand at 2 Corinthians 5. We're going right there. But look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The potential of that day, in verse number 15, it talks about right in the middle of that, you see the word suffer and you see the word loss, and they're put together. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. 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 I'm not necessarily sure that we realize the depth of that, of the potential of that statement. I'm going to talk about it in just a moment, but he's talking about your entire life, all that you have ever done and taken advantage of or served. He's talking about everything you live for and you invested in and was important. All of that is going to be measured, and there's the reality that you could stand before God and watch it all be burned up. I don't know about you, but I want my life to make a difference for Jesus Christ. I want my life to make an eternal difference. Sometimes people say things like, Pastor, I want to matter. I want to make a difference. I want to have a legacy. I want to have an impact. Never will that be more true than when you stand before Jesus Christ. We're going to have to give an account for our lives. When you begin to think about that, when you begin to understand the reality of that, if you can begin to see yourself in that position, my friend, it begins to get heavy on your thinking. It begins to make you examine what you're doing with your life. And so I want to preach today a message on the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where, and this is in your bulletin as well, if you look at verse number 10, the Apostle Paul is writing here. one of the great chapters of the Bible on a motivation of why we serve the Lord. And he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I have that underlined in my Bible. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christian. We know that he's speaking of something called the Bema seat. In the Apostle Paul's mind and under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he's talking about a judgment place that was used to judge athletics. It was a place that was used to reward the Olympian athlete. When an athlete would win, or an athlete was recognized for his accomplishment, or was to celebrate victory, he would come to the Bema place, and they would put upon him a wreath or a crown. It was a place of reward. It is designed to be a place of reward. We understand that not only is it a place of reward for the Olympic athlete, but we know from 2 Corinthians 5 that it's a place only for the Christian. Only the born-again child of God will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I believe, eschatology-wise, that the judgment seat of Christ will take place during the tribulation time. I believe once the church is raptured, we'll celebrate that marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will go to the judgment seat of Christ prior to coming back with the Lord when he comes to rescue Israel. Once he comes to rescue Israel at the end of the tribulation time, and by the way, he will rescue Israel. Bible says that the whole nation of Israel, every Jew alive, will be saved in a day. In one day they will look on him, the Bible says, whom they have pierced. They will see him coming in the cloud of glory. They will see him riding that horse. They will see him with his vesture dipped in blood and the sword of righteousness in his mouth. They will see that name faithful and true. And they will realize that we killed the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? And Jesus will come and he will rescue them in just a matter of seconds. I'm coming with the Lord. Now, I probably won't be in the front, but I'm on a horse somewhere behind him. The Bible says he's coming with his armies of heaven. Now, I'm coming to the battle. I don't have to fight because there's one great warrior. He's going to take care of it all. But when he does destroy the nations, he will come in, he will rescue Israel, and he will set up that millennial kingdom. In that millennial kingdom, you and I will rule and reign. Part of where we, and I'll talk about this in a minute, how we rule and reign in that millennial kingdom is tied to the judgment seat of Christ. So it's not a place for the unsaved, it's a place for the Christian. Not only is it unique in that aspect, but it's unique in the fact that it's not a place where my sin will be judged, it's a place where my service will be judged. It's not a penal judgment. It's more of a parental encouragement. It's a place of reward, is what it's designed to be. There will be loss, and I understand that. But it's not for my sin. My sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am forever forgiven. So we don't ever have to stand in front or in a judgment of that. God judged it on Calvary. If you're here and you have never trusted Christ, you've never put your faith in him, you've never made a decision to come under the covering of the blood of Jesus by faith, then you will have to stand one day and give an account of your sin. And my friend, you will not survive that. But hallelujah, there's salvation today in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about there's coming a day when you and I will have to give an account of our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches us a lot about the day, and I want you to go there because I want to show you three things about the day, and then I'll come back there from the fourth thing. We find from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13, that every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we learn from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, if you're taking notes in the bulletin, number one, that the day is a day of revelation. It's a day of revelation. Those words shall be made manifest. That carries with the idea of being visible and open to sight. So that day, your service, your work, your life, apart from your sin, that which and how you've used your life, that in the way that you've lived your life, that in the way you've served, it's all going to be made open. Now, who's it going to be made open to? It's going to be made open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, speaking to the lost people there, but it is important about to the Christian, the Bible says that there will be a day when God will judge the secrets of men. Are you a good secret keeper? I'm getting less and less to be a good secret keeper. I find that it just comes out. I get excited. People tell me, Pastor, we're pregnant, but don't tell anybody. I tell them. I just tell them, don't tell them I told you to tell them that I told them. You know, think about this. One day a man's going to be judged according to his secrets. A man's going to be in heaven or be in front of God, and God's going to begin to judge him. He's going to be, who told? Nobody has to tell. Our God is an all-knowing God. I don't know what secret you came in here today. I don't know what secret you have from your wife. I don't know what secret you have from your husband. I don't know what secret you have from the government. I don't know what secret you have from this church. I don't know what secretive things you are, but there will be a day that God will judge the secrets of men. Did you know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13, that there is not a creature alive that's not manifest and open to the sight of God? So the Bible says at the judgment seat of Christ, that day will be a day of revelation where your life will be visible and open to the sight of God, Christian. Not our sin, that's already open, but how we serve the Lord. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians 5, you saw that phrase there where he said in verse number 10, for we must all appear. That phrase, for we must all appear, means we must all be on display. So your life is going to be on display in front of the Lord Jesus. That means you're going to stand there and look on him. And let me tell you something. When you look upon the Lord, it's going to overwhelm you. You're going to see him in his scars of his crown. You're going to see when he reaches for you that his hands have been pierced. If he turns, you're going to see where they bludgeoned his side and it was exposed that his heart blew up in a broken heart. That God who did all that for us, your life is going to be made open. And you're going to be on display to him. Fascinating. Commentators use words like exposed. True character will be revealed. No disguises. No deception. It will just be on display. Now, I found one thing. God's people are good at making disguises and deception. Many of you come in and you put that disguising happy smile on your face. Hey, it's good to be here. And down deep, you're broken and hurt and tore up. And some of you come and we got our big Bible, but we go home and our lives don't match our big Bible. And I may look at you and say, hey, that's a great church member, or somebody may look at this. But down deep, we've got some disguises and we've got some deception. Listen to me, child of God. At the judgment seat of Christ, you will be on display and there will be no disguise or no deception. Is anybody else terrified at that? Does that grip you? Look at what he says in verse number 13. For the day shall declare it, 1 Corinthians 3. For the day shall declare it. What does that mean? That word declare means to be made plain. It carries the idea of signifying the day. Well, what is he talking about there? He's talking about that the complexities of our life are going to be measured against the person of Jesus Christ, and everything is going to be made plain. You see, he's talking about we offer up excuses a lot of times and reasons why we don't serve the Lord or why we don't do certain things. And it's like these little kids that come to school in our school, and we'll take like a second grader, and all they got to do is do their homework. Now, we know they're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. That's not my kids. They lead the class, but the rest of them are somewhat behind. But you let a kid not bring their homework in Miss Collier's class, and you amazes me how complex a little kid can be at making excuses. Well, our schedules just didn't coordinate last night. Schedules coordinating? You're in the second grade. My dad just didn't do that. We were trying to balance this and this and that and that. And it just didn't all. And really, they just have this little simple task of doing their homework. They don't do it. And now they come with this complex reason and excuse. And I'm finding that God's people are extremely complex in our excuses, in our reasoning of why we don't serve the Lord. And so in our mind, we've got it all serious and all complex. And we come to this place where we just say, well, the Lord, you'll understand. He understands why I don't sing in the choir. He understands why I can't come to this service. He understands why I don't do this. He understands I've got this, 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 and this. Listen, the day will declare it. When you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our complexity will be reduced to simplicity. And it will just be made plain. And it will be made plain in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I will be held accountable for how we used our time for the Lord. How we used our talents, our gifts, treasures, our opportunities, our service. And you might be able to pull out your smartphone and say, look, Lord, I have it all right here. Here was my day and all of this and all of that. But God's just going to present it in such a way where you're going to be without excuse. And you're going to be there before the one who did so much to you, for you. And it's just going to be made plain. Look what he said. It's a day being revealed. Look what it's revealed by. Look at verse number 13. Because it shall be revealed by fire. By fire. The fire is going to test it. The fire is going to test what manner or what sort it is. So the day is going to declare it. It's going to make it plain. You're going to be on display, and our lives are going to be visible and open to the sight of God. Now, we're not judged for our sin. It's going to be a day that reveals how we lived our life. Look, if you would, at verse number 12, or verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, who is our foundation, class? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. What's he teaching the church? He's teaching that, listen, you have a foundation of Jesus Christ. You have the responsibility to build your life on that foundation. You have the responsibility for him to be the preeminence of our lives. And God has given you so much. And God has given you opportunity. He has given us money. He has given us time. He's given us the privilege to live in America. He's given us health and reason and blessing and homes and cars, and we can travel everywhere. And one day he's going to say, now what did you do for me? Oh. Does anybody else think that's important? Think about that. It's also going to be a day of reward in verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. A reward. So the expectation of the Bema seat is that you're going to be rewarded. It's not eternal life. We have the eternal life already in the Lord. But the reward will be a place of dignity and honor in the kingdom. The reward will be a crown that we will receive, like that winning athlete that will be put over us. The reward, I think the greatest reward, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have, say those three words, praise of God. The greatest reward that we will have is praise of God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words. If you want to hear those words, say amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's designed to be a place where we'll be rewarded. I wonder if it happened today, would you be rewarded? Would you be rewarded? How are you building upon the foundation of Christ? How are you using the blessing of that He has given to you? Where does He fit in the preeminence of your thought and in your life? Let me tell you, one day we're going to stand and we're going to have to give an account. The Bible says in verse number 15 that it'll also be a day of regret. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what, class? Loss. Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Pastor, what will I lose? Well, you won't lose your salvation. You won't lose the riches in Christ. But you'll lose your crowns and your reigning position. And according to 1 John chapter 2 and 2 John chapter 8, you'll be ashamed. You'll be ashamed. Now, stay with the preacher here because I'm going to teach you something. Here is the mindset of most of our churches today, and it's not biblical. Let it not be said of Plantation Baptist Church. Most Christians think, as long as I get there, that'll be enough for me. As long as I get there, I don't need a crown. I don't need a mansion. I don't need wings. You're not going to get wings. I don't need all this stuff. As long as I'm there, that's enough for me. But that's not enough for Jesus. That is a statement of selfishness. That is a statement of ignorance. That is a statement that basically goes, I'm here. Jesus didn't just save you for you. He saved us for Him. And you have the audacity to think that you can just react that way to the grace of God? And you think that you're going to get to heaven and you're going to have this great celebration that I made it, and you think it's going to, the way that you've built upon that foundation is not going to affect you? Well, I got some passages of Scripture you need to read. One of them is going to be in the book of Revelation when the Bible says, and God will wipe away all what? Tears. 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 Well, if I was just happy to be here, there'd be no tears. The tears are going to come because you're going to look at the one that died for you. And you're going to realize who He is. And you're going to realize what He's done for you. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I picture sometimes somewhere off in the distance, you're going to hear the scream coming out of that pit. Bible talks about hell as being a place of torment and fire. Bible talks about hell being dark. It's not a blue flame. A blue flame is the coolest light there is. It's a dark flame. The Bible says that there's the gnashing and wailing of teeth. If you hate loudness, you will hate hell. It will be loud. It will be demonic. It will be screams. It will be suffering. It will be gnashing. It will be insane. And that's what I deserve. And that's what you deserve. But hallelujah, He paid our penalty for our sin. So you're telling me that you think and I think and the church today thinks that we're just going to get over here and say, hey, I made it.
We're going to be broken and distraught. We're going to look on Him and we're going to see all that He is. And then I have nothing. I did nothing. I built my house on nothing. I served Him nothing. I didn't build on that foundation. I have nothing to offer Him. And we will break out in tears. And in His mercy, He'll wipe them. But in that moment, my friend, you're going to want something to lay down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did we do? Where did we go wrong? It'll be too late then to say, I'm sorry. It'll be too late to say, I wish I had done differently. It'll be too late to say, I'm going to go back. God hit your pastor hard this weekend. And if this isn't for anybody else, it's for me. I think about this and I think, I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better Christian. I want to build on that foundation. A day to be revealed. A day of reward. A day of regret. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. What's the very first word of verse number 12? Now. It's a day to be regarded now. 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 See, you need to understand that there's coming a day when you're going to give an account for now. Now is the time to build. Now is the time for Him to be preeminent. Look, He says, now if any man build upon this foundation. And He goes on in verse number 16 after He's talked about this future judgment. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, the Spirit of God that dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Paul saying, now listen, church, there's coming a day when you got to give an account and it ought to impact you. Now is the time to be righteous. Now is the time to serve. Look at chapter 4, verse number 2. Now is the time to be faithful. Now is the time to be spiritual. Now is the time. And the understanding of one day that I'm going to stand before Him ought to affect my today. That's why I told you, I don't really believe that churches that call themselves Baptists or like ours believe that Jesus is coming in their lifetime. And I don't believe they think they're going to stand before Him. But the book says we are. Pastor, do I need to be afraid of the judgment seat of Christ? No. No. It's not a place where you're judged for your sin. But you need to be respectful of it. You're going to have to give an account for how you're using the blessings of God in your life. You're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account for how you build upon the foundation of Christ. You're going to have to. It's going to all be open. And there you are. And Jesus is going to make it all plain. And then my life is going to pass through that fire. I don't want to lose all of it. Pastor, how would I suffer loss? What do I do? The loss comes from things that were done in the flesh. The loss comes from things that were done with improper motives, ingratitude, unthankfulness. The loss is done with people that give money but give it begrudgingly, or you're bitter because you serve, or you have secret hatred in your heart towards somebody, or this. And we've done all this religious activity on the outside, but on the inside we're not right. Listen, all that activity when it goes through the fire is going to be based on what's in my heart, and how I responded to that. Sobering, amen. So what do we do with that? Then our lives today need to reflect the glory and power of Jesus Christ. I hear a message like this, and I'm ashamed of myself. I hear a message like this, and I begin to examine my life. I hear a message like this and I think about having to give an account. I say, God, I want to serve you with my whole life. God, I don't want to, I want to be a better Christian. I want to love you. I don't want to suffer loss at that judgment seat. By the way, they'll call my name. Thomas, you know my middle name. Alexander, learn it. Thomas Alexander Hunter Jr., child of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, saved as a little boy. Come to the Bema. It's time for you to get your reward. Oh, can you imagine? They're calling your name. Come to the Bema. We're going to get these rewards. And then we're going to step back and we're going to see him. And we're going to take all those rewards and we're going to lay them down at his feet. And we're going to sing, to God be the glory, the great things he had done. Church, build your life on the foundation of Christ. Shall we pray?